Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 78 of the From Pain to Power podcast. My name is Lisa DeYoung and I'm really excited to be here with you today. It is December, we're mid-December now. This episode will be coming out in a week or so. So you'll probably be listening to this hopefully over the Christmas holidays, the seasonal holidays, the break. Whether you're in the northern or southern hemisphere, hopefully you're having a nice rest this season. And yeah, it's really good to be here. I just want to remind you that in January 2024, I have my Women in Pain course, which is a 6-week live online course for anyone who is needing support with chronic pain, the menstrual cycle, journeying that path. You can head on over to the link in the show notes to read more about that. It will be a very small group and we're going to be going on a journey together for a 6-week program. And yeah, hopefully it'll be a place where you can learn a lot more about pain science, the nervous system, the endocrine system, hormones, and how you can look after yourself better and support yourself with a lot of compassion and self-love through the journey of pain recovery. And then I also have a professional support group happening in January 2024. That's a 10-month program. And you can also read about that via the link in the show notes. I won't go into that in too much detail, but that is essentially a place for wellness practitioners and professionals who are needing a supportive environment for their practice and their business and want to connect with other professionals too. So that's also starting in January 2024. So that aside, I'm very excited to have a special guest with me today. Jay, I didn't even ask you how I pronounce correctly your surname. Would you give me a hand with that, please?
Chili bowls, like a bowl and then
bowls.
Bows, like with an S at the end.
Bowls, like a bowl that you'd eat out of.
Ah, and then lovely.
Like, bowls, and I'm like, no.
Not bowls, bowls. Well, Jilly, you're so welcome here. I'll read out her bio because it's so lovely. So Jilly Bow is a yoga teacher from Greystones, which is the town where I'm from in Ireland, in County Wicklow. We have a lot of people around the world listening to this, Jilly, so I have to explain where that is. So Jilly is a yoga teacher and mental health advocate. She started her wellness page during COVID to create a little community and support space for anyone who was having troubles with their mental health. Jilly then completed her yoga teacher training as an addition to this page and has been teaching for 2 years in her hometown. She has studied elements of somatic therapy, trauma-informed yoga, energy, anatomy, and hopes to continue her studies into a 500-hour teacher training. So before I'm going to get Jilly to chat, I would also love to let you all know how I got to know Jilly. So Jilly is a friend of my younger sister, Anna, and a friend of a friend, Chantal. I have to drop some names here. And I know there's other friends of friends that they're all connected with because Greystones is a small but growing and thriving community. And I'd be very close with my younger sister. And so I met you, I think it was 2020. It was maybe during, or maybe it was 2021. It was during the pandemic. And, but we were at this place where we were allowed to meet people. And Jilly came to visit me with Chantal and my sister Anna in my apartment, and we had tea together. So I got to meet Jilly, and Jilly just has this incredible energy that was just so, oh, I don't even have words, but just so touching and loving. And yeah, we're love bombing on you already at the start of this episode, Jilly. And then what happened then was we kind of stayed in touch a little bit via my work. And then I joined because I've talked about this as well, I've recently moved to another town, which is about half an hour south of Greystones, which is called Wicklow Town in County Wicklow as well. And then I joined Natasha, I joined her fitness classes here. So she's got a little small fitness studio for women in Greystones, and it's small but very thriving and very active. And yeah, super cool. She's doing some really cool stuff there. And then she, it's funny, like Natasha, I hadn't yet gone to one of her fitness classes, but she was advertising a retreat. And I was like, oh, I need to meet people in my local town. So I'll go to the retreat. And then I went to the retreat, and it was like an overnight stay in a retreat center. And Jilly was there teaching a yoga class. And it was my first experience of being one of your students, Jilly. And it was just so gorgeous. It was a really full room of women. And you just brought a really powerful and also gentle approach to your work. And like, it was just a really good example of a professional holding a really strong space in a way that was very compassionate, very gentle, and really letting people be in their own process and their own energy. Like, there was no forcing, or, you know, there was no like expectation or anything. Everyone was very much in their own journey. And it really stayed with me, Jillian. So I was just really like excited to get to know you and your work more. And it's been fun like following you on Instagram, because I know you're at the start as well of your business and your journey, and you're teaching classes in and around Wicklow, and that's growing. And anyway, so I have a lot to say about Jillian, even though I don't even know her that well. So, hi, how are you doing today?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be on chatting to you, and I'm so excited. I was saying it to Anna. I saw Anna last night, and I was like, I'm talking to your sister tomorrow, and I can't wait. So I'm thrilled. Thank you so much for having me on. And I've been admiring your work for such a long time, such a long time. And it's just so lovely to get the chance to speak to you one on one. So I really appreciate that.
Oh.
Thank
Oh, thanks for, yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. And hi, Anna, because I know she's listening and I haven't spoken to her in a while. We're meeting up tomorrow. Anyway, yeah, she's a doubt. We love her, don't we? So, Jilly, tell us a bit about, okay, I'm going to go in with the questions now. So tell us a little bit about your journey to the work you're doing now, and why you decided to embark in that professional side of things.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I guess it started much further back than I actually realized it starting, the kind of seeds of it. Many, many years ago, I would have had my own struggles with anxiety and depression, and they would have been such a heavy time back then. And I think that journey that I went through, having come out the other side of it, I just felt like I needed to help other people who were similar to me. And I think as a whole, I've always kind of seen myself as being a little bit different, in a sense that I haven't always found that I've fitted into the environment of school or work, or I just always felt like I was a little bit different and there was something about me that just didn't fit. And I think that's what caused maybe the anxiety and the way I was when I was in my mid-20s and my teens. And that kind of led me to wanting to be able to create a space where people potentially like me felt like they fit in. So when I first started my Jilly Bow page, it was just loads of different memes and things I was sharing that were just things that resonated with me, in the hopes that someone would find the page that felt like me and found a community sense there. So I think that's where it all kind of started. And then gradually I was trying to find ways that outside of the page that I could help create a community off the internet, I guess. And originally I was like, okay, I'll try to do personal training. And I did my personal training certificate and I did a little bit of work in a gym and I was interning there. And I was like, this isn't for me. And again, I had that little feeling in my gut that I was like, I don't fit in this environment. So I was like, something else must be there that's along these lines of helping. And that eventually led me to yoga. And I think that that's where I found that place where I can feel like I can fit in, but also that I can offer that maybe to other people, that kind of safe space. And that's where I'm living at the moment, in my little yoga bubble, and seeing what other avenues I can add to that to just have it be more open to more people who don't maybe potentially feel like they fit into the molds that society has presented everyone at the moment, you know?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I can kind of relate to that in a different way, the feeling of like, oh, I think my brain operates in a different way, or I think about things in a different way. How did you support yourself through that when you were younger, when it wasn't so clear that that's what you were going through?
I think at the time I didn't, and now being in my kind of mid-30s, I can realize that it was kind of a lot of kind of social anxiety, and I can see that it was stemming from when I was younger and I had parents that were unwell, and it just kind of came into my teens, and there were things that I guess when I was younger that weren't as openly discussed now. So, say for example, things maybe like ADHD or those types of neurodivergences that are there, and they might have kind of sat within me. So, having not the words to kind of formulate how I was feeling because of maybe something like that, I, like many of my peers, would have maybe turned to drink and gone out to kind of drink as a social lubricant to kind of help me feel like I fitted in more. And then over the years, I realized that that just wasn't actually what it was, and I just needed to take a step back and realize that maybe whatever way my brain does work, it mightn't be like everybody else, but it doesn't mean that I'm different in a bad way. It just means that I don't fit into maybe the traditional molds, or that I have to just look elsewhere to find little slots that I fit into more comfortably. And I've realized that maybe the larger groups aren't where I do my best. And I now tend to see people on one-on-one or like two or threes and little groups. And that's really beneficial for me. Or trying to do things like meditating and yoga, which creates a little bit of space in my busy mind to just actually separate how I'm feeling, to see like, am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling overwhelmed? And if I am, why is that? Can I take stuff off my plate? Can I delegate? And just separating myself from my mind and my body a little bit sometimes.
I love that, Julie. And it sounds like you were actually quite proactive then in looking for belonging in your journey and connection.
I think I've always wanted to kind of feel like I fitted in somewhere. And even now, I definitely have some wonderful friends that I know I fit in with. And it's more of it's just allowing myself to be who I am and to take away that comparison piece. And even in school, luckily enough, I got the whole way through school without social media for the most part. I didn't have to kind of work with that, which I can imagine is quite tricky now. I've always been one for comparison, and I think that taking a little bit of a step away from that and just allowing myself to be who I am, how I am, is the best thing for me, do you know? And even having conversations one-on-one, you get the chance to understand people better, and maybe someone that you wish that you were like. When you get to know them and their journey, you realize that you guys are a lot more alike, or that they have things going on that, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily want to swap who you are for them or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, that's so it's so important that is, and I think a lot of us can relate. I certainly can. You say like you're one for comparison, but I think it's also drilled into us. And, the apps like social media benefits on some levels, but then one of the prices we pay is that it's designed for us to compare, to keep us on there and stuff, So that's a battle that I have in my mind as well a lot of the time, and I have to really sit with and navigate that because we can't completely isolate ourselves from the world either and live in a bubble as much as sometimes I want to.
I know. Oh my God, same. I have the little sleep thing on my phone that, like, the quiet mode, and I have it for like 8 o'clock, and like, I'm outrageous. I never stop going on it at 8. I'm constantly back on it.
That's
It's just
so
like a little
funny.
reminder, like, here's the quiet mode that you might ignore in like 20 minutes.
Exactly. And it's just that it can make you feel a little, a healthy amount of guilt then when you break the rules.
Yeah, I know.
Because I do that as well.
Oh, I'm really bad. I don't know why if it's set so early as well. I should probably have it at 10, which is more realistic.
Realistic.
But like I'm like 8 o'clock, right? Phones down, and like absolutely not.
You're a businesswoman, you know, you got to be on, you got to be out there.
I know, that's it. Elliot, my partner, was saying that the other day. I think my phone, like, I could see it light up in the bedroom around 1 o'clock, and now my fault now for having it right beside the bed facing up. But I got it, and it was someone mailing me about yoga, and I like wrote back to them at 1 in the morning, and he was like, "What the hell is wrong with you? Like, you don't need to do that. They're just mailing you because they happen to be up." But I was like, they're like sending them my little like disclaimer, sending them everything. And I was
Oh
like,
my
"Oh
God. Schedule that. Schedule the email for 9 or 10. And then they don't know that you're awake and they think like, oh yeah, she's practicing self-care.
I
You
know."
know? So I'm joking. That's the reality. It's like we're also human, aren't we? We also have lots of flaws, even if we're doing this work, right?
Oh my God, so much, so much. I was at a training there a while ago, and a few of the girls were talking about their self-practice and that they practice an hour a day at home. And I was looking at them like, oh my God, I wish I did that. I should be doing that because I teach yoga. I was like, I'm doing prep for classes, and I was like, if I get down on the mat for 15 minutes a day, even as a teacher, I was like, I'm delighted. I was like, oh God.
Well, I think like knowing that what I know about you and so what I sense is that you do, even though you mightn't necessarily always get on the mat for an hour a day, and what you've just shared with us is that you do have, because you've had to learn, right? You do have quite a deep ability to be self-compassionate. Am I right in saying that? Is it you, that's probably something you've had to learn?
Definitely something I've definitely had to learn. Because I know my mom is so, she's a great lady for picking me up. She'd be a follower of like my Instagram, and she'll like send me posts that I made, and then she'd be like, "Here's a post you said last week, but here you are giving out about this, and you need to listen to that, what you're saying." And I try to, as best I can, give myself that self-compassion, because I feel like I have just oodles of self-compassion and empathy for other people. And then when the mirror is reflected and turned back, it's like there's a huge amount of resistance. So I have to really work on my own self-talk and just that, again, that comparison piece. And especially being a yoga teacher, I feel like the social media version of yoga can be the most beautiful poses, and it can be maybe a lot of women who are that traditional beautiful figure, quite slim, maybe blonde hair, brown hair, whatever color, but they're just gorgeous. And I have to kind of battle with that as well, because I mightn't traditionally fit into that particular mold. So you're always kind of just trying to find ease in where you are.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really important point, actually, because I think the industry can like that. It's all a lot of marketing, and I can really relate to that as well, but it's not the reality of our clients either. So for us, as you know, to work with our reality, I think that helps people connect with us too, you know. I think I'd be quite intimidated to go to a yoga class that was all about image and thinness and, you know, not that there really are many out there like that, but do you know what I mean? Like, I think I would be like, actually, I don't really want to go to
I know what you mean.
that
I do. Because it wouldn't be the majority of people that come to yoga, that practice yoga, don't have yoga at the level that you might see it on Instagram reels, where
class.
people can pop their legs up towards the clouds. They have these fantastically almost like circus-like contortions that they can do, which is such a beautiful thing to be able to be at that level. But then also the understanding that a lot of that as well can be down to years and years and years of practice, or it can be genetics and hypermobility. And that might not be where everyone wants to go with their practice as well, do you know? And I
Or is
always,
helpful.
yeah, absolutely. I say to everybody that comes to class, I'm sure some of the ladies know it off by heart, but before I say, I start class, I always say to people that it's your practice, And we're here to celebrate the person that's on the mat. We're greeting them with kindness and compassion. And the highest form of yoga is to listen to your body. So if that's telling you to pull back, pull back. If it tells you it has more energy to elevate things, absolutely do. And I say at every single class, like if people want to lie down for an hour, that's yoga. And I'd be delighted once or twice a late one or two ladies have fallen asleep and I'm like, this is the best, like excellent.
I love that. I'm so gonna start doing that. I'm just gonna go and lie there. 'Cause like you wouldn't do that yourself in your house, unless you were sick.
Yeah. That's it. It really is. And to just listen to that. And as me as a teacher myself, I'm as stiff as a board. And I know loads of the ladies will be able to contest to that. Sometimes I can't touch my toes. And a lot more times than I'd like to admit, I have to lean on the wall when I'm trying to do balancing things. But that's all human and embracing those wobbles because essentially, when your body is wobbling and trying to find balance, it's trying to learn something new. And if we ever have the chance to learn something new, that's a wonderful thing, you know?
Absolutely. So when you were on that journey of with your own well-being and emotional health and all that and finding connection and belonging, did you find like when you said you turned to yoga, did you find benefit from practicing it for yourself personally as well?
Absolutely. It would be something that I found that if I practiced in a way that I was listening to my body, it was so helpful. So, say for example, some weeks myself would like to do like a yin practice, a slow practice. And if I allowed myself that instead of booking into something faster, then so beneficial. But it's so important to find what your body is looking for to get the benefits from it. So I found that if I was, say, for example, to go to a vinyasa class when my energy was really low, I'd nearly come out of it being more deflated because I wasn't able to do the poses, or I would have that self-critic voice become a little bit louder during the practice because my head didn't need that. So it would be pushing back against you and it wouldn't be allowing you to be present because it wasn't looking for that.
So how do you figure that out? Like how do for the listeners, because like I'm also thinking about the cycle and the seasons of the cycle and all that hormonal change and stuff, because a lot of yoga classes are the same every week. So how does one, because that's a really good question you're asking, Julie. It's like, how do I meet the needs of my body for where they're at this day or this week or this season? Where do you start with that?
I feel absolutely, as you mentioned, with the hormones and the cycle, if you're someone that really feels your cycle, to be in tune with your cycle and to know where your energy rises and where it naturally just tends to trickle down. Or if you're someone that would be in tune with the moon as well, like, I know people up to the full moon, they can be just completely out of sorts. Just kind of get to know your body. And even from an external point of view, if you're having a really stressful week in work, if you have a really busy family life, then possibly that particular week, a vinyasa class mightn't be for you. You might need something that can calm the nervous system down when it's constantly on, constantly working. Or you might be someone who has a very busy mind. And the only way your mind gets quieter is if you are working the mind. So you might need to go for a run. You might need to go for a fast gym class, a spin class. So it's getting to know how your mind works because yin for some people can be way too overwhelming because there's so much quiet. So if you're someone that has a busy mind, yin can be extremely confronting because of the pauses and the sitting and the resting and the opening of the duration you're in some poses. So it's just taking time to get to know who you are and the person that you are and how you and your mind can change throughout the day. And just really listening to that, I think not getting swept up in the, well, my friends are going to this type of class or this type of thing, and I should go. But I don't really feel like going to that busy class or that night out or whatever. And just listening to yourself, because again, just to loop back to what I would say to the ladies in the class, you know your body better than anyone ever will.
Mm.
And that's a lovely gift. You'll never know anyone as much as you have the chance to know yourself and to just really get to know who you are.
I love that, Julie. That's so nice. And it's really encouraging. Like one of the things that I find hard with that is I sign up for classes like in blocks, you know. And then so I there, here in Wicklow Town, there's a lady that does, I think it's called Hatha Yoga. I might get you to explain to us actually what the different styles are, because I'm not a yoga, like I've been to a lot of yoga classes, but for listeners to have a kind of a bit, just a summary of what the differences are. But Hatha Yoga, I think it's like, it's not yin, but it's not vinyasa, but it's like, there's like a little bit of vinyasa, but it's like you do hold poses for longer and it's kind of, you're not flying through a lot of stuff. It's not very cardio heavy. It's kind of very strength based and it's a really good class and the teacher is brilliant and there's like a spiritual part and she does like breathing exercises and mantras and things like that. It's really nice. But there are days where if I'm on my period, say, or if I'm just about to get my period, then it's like, well, what do I do then? Because it's the same class. So my way of approaching that is when she offers alternatives, you know, the way teachers will always offer like easier versions of stuff, modifications, I think that's the proper word. I'm all about, I'm like, yes, I will go into the, what's the child, I'll go into the child's pose instead of the downward dog because I just couldn't be bothered lifting myself up that day, you know, or I'm genuinely tired. And so, or I, and sometimes I sit at the back of the class so she can't see me. You know, I feel like I'm not. I'm like, and then I'll just take loads of shortcuts and like she'll like say, we're gonna do this for whatever reps or whatever, and then I'll just do half of that, or I just really like I slack off in a very like proactive way. Like I'm choosing to do that,
Yes,
you
you're listening to your body.
know.
Oh, that's it's so true though. It is. We always give. I was in a class the other day and I was teaching a class and I knew from making the class that it was a tricky class and we were coming up to the end of a 5-week term, so I was kind of conjoining a lot of stuff that we'd learned over the 5 weeks. And I kind of said that to everyone at the start. I was like, there's a lot of movement in the middle of this class. Please, please, I'm going to give so many cues to drop the knee, come down into child's pose, come down into rest, and please take them. There's absolutely no judgment in this space. And I was looking around at everyone and I could hear people panting and sighing. And I kept being like, please drop the knee. Just, you're not the, there's nothing wrong with you being the first person to do it. And it's so funny in that collective space, the pressure to not be the only one. It's such a, it really is. And I've been in classes where I'm absolutely just like can't even breathe. I'm struggling so much in a pose and I won't drop because no one else does. And I know that's a disservice to myself because I'm completely ignoring the cues of my body to tell me that it's under stress of some kind, like heavy breathing, the sweating, and I'm just ignoring it all because the ego is louder and I'm like, can't be the only one now, oh God. Or like they know I'm a teacher, I can't possibly come out of this, you know?
There's so much, like, it's so interesting because if you, the way I see it is yoga is like a metaphor, isn't it, for how we live our lives and how we show up on the mat is. Can be reflective of the way we relate to ourselves and the world around us. It's like a little mini universe when you're on the mat. And so I love that awareness you have, Jenny, because it's like, oh, okay, if I'm really struggling to give myself a break here, then the question then becomes like, oh, in what other parts of my life am I doing that to myself?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, it comes off the mat so much. Like the kindness and compassion piece, and there's these things called eight limbs of yoga, and they're traditionally within the Ashtanga practice, which is an older practice. And they're just basically little guidelines of how you can take yoga off the mat. But a few of them would be like non-judgment, non-violence. And non-violence even would be to not push yourself past your limits. So to be listening to yourself both on and off the mat and taking the cues that, like, if you're in pain, to not push into the pain and to protect yourself. Or do you know those little things? And they're a lovely set of kind of moral codes and compasses that allow the practice to come off the mat. If you are ever interested in kind of reading through those online, they're lovely.
What are
And
they called?
they're called the eight limbs of yoga. And there's a big wide kind of breakdown of them, and within each limb there's different sections as well, but they're just lovely to kind of go over because they're so rooted in like the history and the tradition of yoga years and years and years back.
Wow. Okay. I'll definitely pop a link in the show notes for that because that sounds a really interesting thing to read. You mentioned we've kind of dropped a few different names. Would you mind maybe a one-liner explanation, very simple, if possible, on the differences between vinyasa, yin, hatha,
I'll go as best I
ashtanga?
can, best
Okay. We'll
I
start with
can.
vinyasa. Like, what does that mean?
So vinyasa practice is normally a nice free-flowing practice. So there is a lot of energy in a vinyasa practice and a lot of creativity. So teachers have a large creative kind of scope that they can incorporate into the traditional poses that you might see. Say, for example, there's maybe about 108 or 9 traditional core poses in yoga. And when you go to a vinyasa class, they'll be taking the traditional poses but making their own little flows between them. So there's a lot of creativity in those classes and they tend to not be the same. So if you went to a vinyasa class on a Monday and you went to one on a Tuesday in another studio, they'd probably be completely different. There's a huge scope for the teacher to be able to put their stamp on it,
And
which
is
is
that it's a faster paced, it's kind of more of a cardio, like more likely to sort of build up a sweat in that class, are you?
absolutely,
Okay.
definitely a fast flowing class, and a lot
Fast.
of maybe hot yoga classes can be vinyasa as well as slow as well. But I know they'd be more so hot classes would be traditionally maybe vinyasa. Ashtanga is a set sequence. So if you were to go to an Ashtanga class in Wicklow and you went to an Ashtanga class in Bali or in Sydney, it's the exact same poses in the exact same sequence throughout the class.
Oh,
It's
okay.
really lovely in that it once you know the primary sequence, there's three series. And once you know the series, it becomes a real meditative practice because you can close your eyes, you know what's coming next, and you can flow into it. So it's lovely.
It's like a dance almost. Is it like a choreographed sort of dance? Yeah.
Absolutely
Sorry.
beautiful. No, not at all. Really nice. And then you have your yin, which is very slow. But I think there's an illusion with yin that it can be easy because it's slow. And don't get me wrong, it's beautiful because of the slowness, but it can be confronting in its slowness because you're holding poses for anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes. And you can be just left with that space of seeing where tightness is in the body and then breathing into those spaces to see can you soften it. So it really opens up a space for you to see where stress and trauma is in the body. And that can be the most beautiful thing without a doubt, but it can be tough on the brain to let go and to be confronted with how much tightness can be in the body. But it's a beautiful class. And it kind of ties ever gently into like restorative yoga would be similar to yin as well.
And that's something that I would recommend for people listening to this who know I talk a lot about the nervous system and learning to build more capacity for rest and digest in the nervous system. And yin yoga is a really good practice to do and have in your diary to allow that space for your system to kind of come down.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed as well during like as you kind of move along in your life, you'll meet different practices will support you throughout different journeys of your life. You know, I found when I first started yoga, I found yin too confronting for me. And I found I couldn't get myself into it and allow myself to relax. So I really like flew into the vinyasa type because it was fast. It allowed my brain to shut down or to shut off the kind of loud chatter. And now as I'm kind of progressing along throughout my yoga and throughout my life, I'm noticing that my body now needs more like yin and slow. So kind of develop and move with that as well. So it's nice to have so many options.
That's a really good point, Julie, that like at different stages in our life, we have different needs for different things. And so it's nice that yoga offers a lot of different types of practices that you can lean into. So, yeah, like if you are someone who's very busy minded and you want to start to learn how to slow down, maybe you could start with a vinyasa class first and then move into yin down the line. And if you go to a yin class and you feel like what Jilly said, you feel confronted and it's too slow, or you're feeling irritated and, you know, just eager to move, that's okay. It's not a failure. You just might need to find a more suited class for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yoga, in some senses, not now in any way to say that I'd be in the same educational category of a therapist, not at all. But it would be similar in a sense that you might have to go to a few different therapists before you find a click. And with yoga, you might need as well to go to a few different teachers until you find a teacher and the style that resonates with you as well. So if you happen to go to a class and you feel maybe deflated, or you feel like it wasn't the right thing for you, it doesn't mean that yoga isn't for you. It just means that maybe that particular type, or potentially that particular teacher, just wasn't the type of teacher or class you were looking for. Not by any means to say they were a bad teacher, but just maybe not the type of nurturing or whatever you may have needed that day or that time.
That's a really good point, actually. Like yoga dating, you're going to go on
Yeah.
dates with your yoga
Yeah.
classes. And that's
Do
why the drop-in rates are handy, because you can kind of give a class a go before you commit to a full block, say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a good thing. Anytime anyone mails me, I'm like, come to a class. Even if they're like, I'd like to sign up for the term, I'm always like, come to one class, see if you like it, and then the term rate will still apply to you for the following five, but I'd rather you come and feel like you felt comfortable in the space than feel like, I came to one class, I really don't like it, now I'm gonna have to dread this for 4 weeks, you know?
No, that's not a good feeling to have, and then regretting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what type of yoga then do you teach then? Because thank you for those explanations, because that's really helpful. And I'm curious then what you offer in your practice.
Yes, so I do sleepy yoga. So I do a yoga for sleep, which is a restorative yoga. So really slow in the evening times, normally around 8 or half 8, I do those classes in either studios or online. And then I do something called a yin yang style of yoga. So I like to always start my classes quite slow, and then I build up a little bit of heat and momentum in the middle of the class for the yang, and then slow it back down for the yin again. So I'm trying to see if I can incorporate that kind of masculine, feminine, the blend of the both within the same class, while also allowing people a little bit of space to allow themselves to come into the room when they first join the class, and then allow themselves that space to just reground down before they go back out into the world again. So I tend to keep it like that for the majority of my classes, but I will be offering like a faster class now in the new year, just to for anyone who's been with me for a while that wants to maybe bring it up just one little bit of a more consistently paced class. I'll hopefully offer something like that in the new year, but I love that kind of in between slow, fast, slow, just to give people breaks as well as we go. So normally in any one of my classes, there'd be a child's pose maybe like 5, 6 times throughout the class. I'll bring people back down, and that will give the people who are finding it maybe a little bit like a little bit, I wouldn't, well, maybe possibly a little bit much time to come back, or people who are just flying ahead, time to slow down and just to pull back, you know? So just I get all different types of people in the class to come back to that middle ground.
Nice. That kind of, do they call that again? Like equilibrium.
Yeah.
Yeah, balance in their body. That's really nice. And what kind of things do you see in your, like, because you've been teaching for a few years now. So, like, what are the kind of things you see people struggling with and benefiting from? Like, what do you see in your practice as a teacher?
So I think something lovely is to slowly see people like opening up and letting go of the restrictions that they put, as we all put on our own bodies. And especially people who may feel their flexibility isn't there at all, to over the course of a term, to just see small little openings within their body and to celebrate those so much. One of my yoga teachers who I did my teacher training with, I'm such a stiff person, and she was saying that stiffness is a gift because when you eventually get into one of those poses, you're going to celebrate it so much because the journey to get there for you is just so much bigger than someone who can just naturally fall into these beautiful poses. So I think that is a really lovely thing, seeing people just see the smallest of differences that their hand might be able to come a little bit further down their leg, or they can notice that they can twist a tiny bit more up to either side, you know. That's a really lovely thing. And I think for me, in any of the studios I've been in, I make a conscious effort to not have any mirrors in the studio. Not by any means that mirrors are bad, and I know there's some amazing studios that have mirrors. They definitely serve a purpose, but I just love for people to not have any extra opportunity to cast judgment on themselves. They were to have a look and think they looked some way, and then they look in the mirror and they're like, "Oh God, I thought I was able to do that, and I can't." So that's another thing, that just allowing to see people just be at ease within the safe space on their mat, I guess.
And be really present with themselves. It sounds like that kind of presence piece.
Yeah, and embracing any wobbles and having like a little bit of fun in class as well, you know. And you see people over the course of the terms like maybe buying like a little bit more expensive mats, and they're starting to invest in it, and you're like, this is great, like you're investing in yourself and like you're enjoying the process of getting to know your body. And at the end of the day, it's all just shapes, and there's no perfect shape, you know. And I, even as a teacher, they're welcome to look up to me at the top of the class at any point, but I always preface that like, I am not getting into the perfect shape, and I'm teaching. I'm with my voice, the instructions to get there, but by no means am I in it either.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, I can relate to that as well. It's like we're human too, and we're not perfect either, and that's modeling that is really healthy, I think, as a teacher.
Absolutely, 100%. I fall over all the time at the top of the class. And it makes me more human because I don't in any way see myself as more senior to anyone that comes to class. Like, we're all on the exact same level. The only thing that I feel you ever have to be in front of someone to help is a literal step, and then you can help them. You don't need to have a mountain of knowledge to be able to help someone. And it's just to go back to the image of if you were, say, climbing a mountain and someone asked you to help them up, you'd only ever be a step ahead of them to be able to help them. So you're not any better or any worse than anyone that's in the room.
Tell us more about the sleep yoga, because that's really got my attention. And I know people are like, ooh, what's that?
It's a really slow, sleepy practice where I try and keep the class as close to the ground as I can, so very minimal standing. And it's just a chance for us to, I have it normally around 8:30 when it's online, and it is a chance for us to have an hour to decompress and to process the day. Whereas maybe for a lot of us, myself included, that time of night, I tend to pick the phone up and I unwind by losing myself in the phone. So this is just an alternative that I wanted to bring forward for people to actually have some time to process and unwind away from screens, away from talking, and just to move the body in really gentle stretches and just breathe. I guide people to breathing the entire class. I'm like, inhale here, exhale, because you forget to breathe. The second we start moving, we forget to breathe, or we start doing something, the breathing goes back into that automatic on its own accord. Sorry, I might have said the wrong word. Maybe not automatic, but on its own little system, you know? So just guiding ourselves back to that deep breath.
And so when you say sleep yoga, you're not, the students aren't sleeping in the class, but it's more what I'm hearing is you're supporting their nervous system to wind down so they have more experience of that in their once a week class, and that supports sleep generally.
I hope so. That's my kind of hope for it, that they wind down. So we'd have a shavasana at the end of the class where everyone's lying down, and instead of everyone having to come back up to end the Zoom if it was online or to end the class. I just keep everyone lying down, and in particular when we're doing the class on Zoom, I just say to everyone, like, I'm going to close the call out, stay where you are, and stay where you are for as long as you want. And some people end the class in bed and they don't get back out of bed, and that's really nice that they're just
lovely.
You know, that way. And to get up and say goodbye, I just click the Zoom and I get out of everything for everyone, so they can just drift off or stay in that little state. Because the world is so busy and we've so much stimulation all the time. And there's very few times, apart from when we're actually sleeping, that we're not thinking of things we have to do, or we're not on our phone or on our laptop or being able to be contacted in some way. So it's just 45 minutes or an hour where you're trying to just down regulate everything a little bit.
I love that, Julie. And what I notice myself as a customer of, say, classes and things out there that are helpful, because I know that you and I are teaching stuff and we're supporting people on their journeys, but then we also have personal needs. And I find it really helpful to have things like that in the diary and to, you know, have that paid for and agreed that, like, I go to this class on this day and that's just what I do. Because it's hard to motivate myself to do it when I'm by myself. Like, I can't always be my own teacher, leader, coach person. Like, I have to have people that I go to and classes that I sign up for in my diary that are nothing to do with my work, but that support me and my nervous system. And because I know there's a lot of professionals listening to this too. And it's just a good reminder to think about, like, yoga doesn't have to always be like exercise or stretching. And this sounds like a very restorative option to have in your diary, especially for people who do struggle with stimulation and sleep and stress, or, you know, emotional stuff happening in their life. It sounds like a deeply, deeply nourishing practice, especially if you're doing it with other people.
Yeah, it's that kind of collective as well. And even on the kind of container of Zoom, you still know there's other people there. And I always encourage people to leave their cameras on if they're comfortable. I think that gives us a little bit more accountability,
you can
especially
see others.
Time,
yeah.
To like to stay with what we're doing as well. But the somatic kind of side of things, and just allowing the body space to kind of heal. And again, to touch on exactly what you were saying, it's so important as like teachers or people who are working to carve out that time for yourself as well. To kind of allow yourself to also experience what classes are like or how other people teach, or you're constantly learning from other people as well, and to get yourself out there and to immerse yourself in those types of things. That not that a night out or a movie isn't lovely and can be really relaxing, but to try search for things that are a little bit less stimulating, to just bring yourself back to your senses, I guess. And that kind of sensuality, not in the sense that we might view the word sensuality, but connecting to our senses by slowing down a little bit again, you know. And I say in some of the classes to, like, when we do wake up, to take a look around your space and, like, where you are, to use your eyes to smell, to taste, to touch, to feel, you know, and connect with all that again.
I love that. I have a little like essential oil on my bedside locker that I sometimes forget is there, but it's there, you know. And I also have like a little lavender cushion that I put like beside my pillow. And you're right, it's so nice to have really nice smells like that, that I can use the roller ball on my wrists and just like smell that before I go to sleep, or have the cushion beside me. Yeah, I didn't think about it, but I do have those things, and I probably should do lean into them more often. But they're really helpful because it's just a little mindful moment where you're engaging with your senses, and it can really help disconnect. Because I'm the same. I can be quite sometimes, not always, but a bit wired in the evening, and, you know, watching the news and everything that's going on, and then, you know, trying to finish admin or clean the kitchen, all the things that need to happen, right? But just taking little moments of pause and self-care, it really helps, doesn't it, to support the body to transition to the sleep phase.
Yeah.
Like, how can I expect myself to like go to sleep after I just switch off something very stimulating?
Yeah, absolutely. And so much of us, like my last thing I probably do at night is scroll. And I find it is so strangely soothing to stroll, but I know as well at the same time it must be like doing so much to my head because of the like the highs and lows that you could see a really sad story and then a really happy thing 2 slides later, and you're just on this like roller coaster before bed.
Wild. It is
Yeah.
wild. Yeah. To take back a bit more of control of our brains again, I think is really important, isn't it?
Yeah,
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for this really inspiring conversation. I'm thinking it's December, it's Christmas. Is there anything you would like to offer as a little bit of guidance or inspiration for people listening who might be struggling to relax during Christmas or, anything you
yeah.
want to say?
I think this is the mo it's such a magical time of year, especially the lead up to Christmas is so lovely. And especially if you have little ones in your family, you're really coming into that like Santa season, and it's just wonderful. But as well, there is that like other side of the coin where it is that Hallmark holiday of the picture perfect family and Christmas Day, and that might not be everyone's narrative. And to just give yourself a little bit of space to recognize and realize that that isn't everyone's reality, and that is the kind of definition of the highlight reel that we see on Instagram. It's like that highlight holiday, but it might not be that. And to just accept and to appreciate the little lovely moments that you have on the lead up to Christmas, and however your Christmas day looks. And not to, I suppose, dwell too heavily on the news at the moment, but there's so many people in the world at the moment that wouldn't have what we have. And even if we feel like the day isn't going the way that we want it to, hopefully we have one person around us that we love, a roof over our head, and a little bit of food. And if not, we have the ability, hopefully, to reach out to someone and to not feel like you're a burden for what being if you're a little bit lonely, just to say that to anyone as well, and to know that it can be a heavy holiday, it can be a wonderful holiday as well, but to just strip back all the expectations, and the day never goes exactly how you want it to. Never, and no day ever will. And there's always things that will come up that will change your day every day, every hour. So just finding joy in the little moments that crop up whenever they are, and celebrating those.
Oh, that's so gorgeous, Julie. Thank you for sharing that. It's really inspiring, and I think we all need to hear that, we really do. Would you tell us about any classes you've got coming up, either December, January, and where people can find your work? And I'm curious about the online classes as well.
Yeah, so I have two classes on the 19th of December, and both of those classes are two charity classes for Gaza. So the two classes are going to two different organizations that are helping over there at the moment. Then I'll have a class on the 29th of December, and then we'll finish up till the new year. So we'll be back up and running from the 4th of January, and all my classes will be available on Jilly Bow Yoga on Instagram, or I have a little website which is Jilly Bow Yoga as well, and they'll all be up and running again. So I normally run 5 week terms. And then I do some online classes. There'll be some classes starting in Black Rock as well. It'll be exciting. Get nice and busy again in the new year after a little bit of a rest and lots of food.
Brilliant. And where's your, because the 29th of December, I think this episode is coming out around Christmas. So where is that class on?
That is going to be on in the yoga bar in Kukus. That's Friday the 29th, and it is going to be at, I think it's either 10 or 10:30. I just have to double check the times of
That's
that
a
in.
lovely, sorry, yeah, that no, I was just going to say that's a lovely class to hold because people will be looking for things to do, between Christmas and New Year. So the 29th of December, Kilcoole, County Wicklow, Ireland. If you're in America, you can fly over. And then you're back up and running on the 4th, from the 4th of January with 5 week terms. And then what days are your online classes on?
So I am at the moment doing them on a Wednesday evening.
Okay.
That might potentially change in January, as another class might be in person on Wednesday, but I'll try and keep it either on a Wednesday night or a Thursday if I can. So I'll keep an
Lovely.
online one somewhere. And I love the little online community, and it's lovely to kind of log off and then everyone's at home, especially in the winter. You don't have to worry about traveling out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you can just shut the laptop and
Yeah.
and do you do one-to-one classes as well, Julie?
I don't at the moment. I've no one-to-one clients right now, but I absolutely do take on
You
them.
offer that service, do
Yeah,
you? Great.
absolutely. So
Yeah.
I do one-to-ones, and then I'll do as well if people ever are doing retreats and they want someone to do yoga. They can always contact me if they'd like a teacher, or if they're corporate as well. I've gone into a few offices for their wellness week and such, and that's really lovely as well. So I have the car and the mats in the bag in the
Would you do talks as well in corporates or workshops and yoga and different things like that?
I have never done a talk, so what I do is I go in and do a class and a lecture for their colleagues in there. And then in January now, I'll be going into a few secondary schools just to support their senior cycles before their exams, which would
Oh,
be really lovely.
lovely. Lovely.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's so lovely.
I'm
That's so
really
important.
that. Yes, oh my God. I mailed so many schools and I was like, I'd literally do it for free because I can imagine that. It's just such a stressful time, and particularly with social media now and kids 17, 18, 19, they've so much going on that if they have it in their curriculum, a little bit of space for that, it's such a lovely thing.
I would have really have benefited from that back in school, but yoga wasn't in our vocabulary back then,
No, oh
so
my God, no, not in my, no, absolutely not.
it was like get out into the field and run and play hockey and anyway, Julie, oh, it was so lovely to chat with you. I love hearing about your work and you've given us so much insight into yoga and how we can build a really loving relationship with our yoga practice and the kinds of classes to look out for and the different needs we might have and the sleep yoga. There's so much there. So really, thank you so much for coming on and chatting today. And I'd love to have you back because I know we were going to talk about periods, but we don't have enough time for everything. So I'll have to talk about the cycle again another time. Yeah. And so where can people find you again? You said Julie Bow Yoga on Instagram and then your website.
That's it. So Jilly Bow Yoga, it should come up on Google, the little website, or it's all on my Instagram all the time. So that's probably where I'm most active. And then if you don't happen to have Instagram, my email is jilly.bow.yoga@gmail.com, and I can send you a little voice note or an email if you need to get in contact ever as well.
That's great. I'll make sure I put all of those links in the show notes. So don't worry if you didn't catch all of them, you can just click on more and find everything there. And I have my website there as well. And Julie's information will be on my website too. So I think that's everything we want to say, isn't it? So I hope you're all having a lovely Christmas. And thanks again, Julie, for coming on.
Oh, not at all. Thank you so much. Honestly, it was so lovely to speak to you. And I hope you have such a lovely Christmas, and to all your listeners as well, have a lovely Christmas as well.
Thank you so much. See you later. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.